In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with volume 20, 11, 6, 19, 26, and we're going to begin. Basically, if you have the book, it's on the bottom of page 37. And Jesus says, the daily coming of the priest, which I myself also disposed, that I, Jesus, might find quickly the first apostles of the fiat of my kingdom. So here, Jesus is saying to Louisa that everything that he has done has prepared the world for this gospel of the kingdom to be given to all the world through his priests. He said, so they might proclaim what regards my eternal will. Therefore, let me finish first so that after I have completed it, I may entrust to it the new apostles of my divine will, that you shall be able then to come to heaven to see from up there the fruits of the longed-for kingdom of the eternal fiat. So here, Jesus is showing us that it's really a new beginning that's happening, that's God is bringing about through Louisa. And, you know, Louisa keeps on saying to Jesus, I want to go to heaven. You know, that, you know, I'm dying every day, literally, and coming back to life every day. And she says to Jesus, let me just die. And Jesus says, when everything's set, when everything's ready, I'll bring you to heaven. And that's where we are today. It's a really a new beginning that's coming for everyone and for everything. It's a new beginning that our Lord has planned for this time. Now, think about it. So many people have been calling and panicking. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What's happening? And this is because of what's happening in the nations, what's happening in the church, what's happening in their families. And it's nothing to panic about. Everything, see, Jesus is in charge. He has to give to everyone what they want. This is why at this time, which is the most difficult time of humanity, he's given us the book of heaven. He's going to teach us how and why the kingdom is coming and where we are now. Jesus has redeemed us. He has given us his mother. He's given us the Holy Church. He's given us the saints, the sacraments, the sacramentals. And now he says, now that we are in this era, he says, I have to give you the book of heaven so that you can understand what we have to go through to embrace this time of sanctification. So she says, then I continue to do my usual acts in the supreme volition. Her usual acts were the rounds. She prayed the rounds. And Jesus is teaching us how to pray the rounds. This is the way Jesus prayed. This is the way Our Lady prayed. And our God wants us to begin to pray in this manner. When you think about it, Pope St. John Paul II gave us at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, that was Louisa's director, basically, gave her this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And what's coming upon the earth, it's God is in charge. It seems as if the other side is winning. It's not. He has to give everyone what they want, even the devil. He has to give the devil what he wants. That's why the devil, you know, with that vision of Pope Leo XIII, the evil one said to Jesus, give me 100 years. And that was 1884. And then 33 years later was the miracle of the sun in Fatima in 1917. 100 years after that, is 2017. And we really see things in a very positive way, especially in the heavens, in the stars. Everything, you know, the stars proclaim the glory of God. We're not talking about astrology. It's everything has been planned by God. Everything is in order. And what is coming is the kingdom. And that's why Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, approved apparition in the church, Our Lady of Revelation in Rome, Italy, at the Trefontaine, where Paul's head, after they cut it out, hit one, two, three times, and there was three springs. This is where Paul was executed. And Our Lady loves to have us remember historical events. For example, Our Lady of America, she appeared in Orrisville, New York. This is where Saint Isaac Jogues was martyred and his companions. So you have the shrine of the North American martyrs. And on that day, the original day, which was September 26th, Our Lady appears. And again, martyrdom. It's to make us aware that a new beginning is coming. It's nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be terrified of. It's to trust in God. That's why the final devotion that God gave to the church, he says to St. Faustina, before I return, Jesus says to St. Faustina, is divine mercy. So if we don't have that Jesus, I trust in you, we will panic. We will be terrified of what's coming, that which scripture says is going to happen. Those that do not know God, don't have the trust in him, belief in him, hope in him, confidence in him, they'll be screaming in terror of what is going to come upon the earth. We have to understand that in all situations, God is in charge, and he's asking us to go through the martyrdom of martyrdoms. That's what he tells Louisa. This time is for the martyrdom of martyrdoms, which means we are not to give life to worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And again, this is a battle that all of us are going through, because all of us have been, if you want to say, programmed throughout our life to be afraid, to be worried, to be nervous, to be anxious. And we have to get to know Jesus. Spending time with our Eucharistic Lord is essential. Spending time with our King, our God, our Savior, our Master. When we're with him, we fall into a deeper love for our God. So she says, I was continuing to doing my usual acts in the Supreme Volition. I thought to myself, my poor mind makes its round through the sea, through the sun, through the heavens, everywhere. See, Jesus is asking us to embrace all of creation as ours. He says, I give you the sun, it's yours. I give you the moon, I give you the stars. And when you look at the saints like St. Francis, sun and moon, you know, brother, sun, sister, moon. When you look at the canticle of Daniel, sun and moon praise the Lord, nights and days praise the Lord. It's, we have been given by God all of creation. And creation, when you pray your rounds, teaches us of the love of God. I mean, if you really look at that which God has produced, look at just the wing of an insect under the microscope. Our God is amazing. What he has done, how powerful, how great, how holy our God is. All of this, he says, is yours. And he says, it's all and I love you to humanity, all of creation. And when we do the rounds, when we learn how to pray the rounds, as Jesus taught Louisa, Louisa's telling us, she says, my poor mind, what does that mean? The universe is so magnificent and we're so little that God is just revealing every day something more beautiful, more precious, more. I mean, this is his love. My poor mind makes its round through the sea, through the sun, through the heavens, everywhere, in order to follow the acts that the adorable divine will does in the creation. So we see the fiat all around us. We see this I love you of God to us, to humanity, all around us. And he says, nobody responds back to him. So he says to Luis, I'm going to teach you how to respond back to God as Adam responded back to God, how Adam prayed, if you want to say, in the beginning, the way Jesus prayed when he was on earth, well, the way Mary prayed while she was on earth, the Son of God, the Mother of God, how did they pray? It was the rounds, praising God and loving God and glorifying God and worshiping God, adoring God. But it's not human. That's what the saints have been doing to this point. Jesus says, I will do this for you. I will pray in your praying. I will praise the Father as I praise the Father. And you can participate in this. I will, and he says, with the sun, with the moon, through the heavens, as Jesus thanked the Father for all that the Father has given to humanity, he says, this is what I want you to enter into. I want your prayer not just to be the prayers of the saints. You know, the saints teach us how to thank God by doing the will of God, but to enter into living in the will of God the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed, the new Adam and the new Eve. So she's, it's very, very clear. He says, but once I finish making my rounds, my round, I always find myself down below in my hard exile. See, this is the thing that is so amazing about this gift. We see that our life is of heaven. We begin to understand that there's no worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity here. That's nailed to the cross with Jesus. Jesus died on the cross, took upon himself our sinfulness, our death, our misery. And now Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into this abundant life of praising the Father and glorifying the Father, adoring the Father, loving the Father as I did, Jesus, as my mother did. So she says, after I do my rounds, and you're gonna see this, when you enter into the rounds, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, worshiping God, as you enter into this, you know that you are of heaven. You begin to realize that we're on earth and we're basically at a bus station waiting to go home. So what do we do? Why are we here? What are we doing here? It's to fall more and more in love with God, to enter into this abundant life of Jesus, of Mary, the new Adam, the new Eve. And as we do this, she says, I always find myself down below on earth in my hard exile. When I'm praying my rounds, I'm in heaven. And we experience that as you begin. That's why the rounds books are so powerful. Because as you're praying, you're not praying the rote prayers of the saints. You're praying the way Jesus prayed. That everything in the rounds book, when you really look at it, comes from the writings. It's echoing the words of Jesus, echoing the words of Mary, echoing the way Luisa echoed. She was this a beautiful echo of the word Jesus speaking. And that's what's happening. And then she says, I'm in heaven. And then she says, why am I still in exile? Oh, how I would like to remain at least in the blue heavens to do the office of a star for my creator. I would rather be in this unbelievable joy and happiness and peace rather than back on earth in our condition. We're a fallen nature. We have been redeemed, but we're not sanctified. And so she's experienced the sanctification. She's living this abundant life, if you want to say. That's why she's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. And she says, I'm in heaven. She listens to me, she says, how I would like to remain at least in the blue heavens to do the office of a star for my creator. Okay, the office of a star. See, what's coming is Jesus teaches Luisa how to live this office that he, the Lord God, has given to her and to the little children, the holy divine will, to be the echo of the voice of Jesus, the voice of Mary. This is our office. It's to really begin to have this abundant joy, abundant happiness, abundant peace as we're praying our rounds, adoring God and loving God. It's heaven. That's heaven. You know, when the kingdom comes on earth as it is in heaven, heaven is here. And when that great day happens, where the evil one is going to be banished from earth because he's banished from heaven, when heaven comes to earth, he has to leave earth. When that great day happens, the earth, Jesus says, is going to shudder. And it's not a fear. It's a rejoicing. As you're praying your rounds, you're going to enter into heaven. As you pray the rounds, you begin to be peaceful, joyful, and happy. This is what's happening. And she says, I want to repeat. This is what the stars are doing, adoring God. But Jesus said to Adam, I want you to be the voice of this. I love you. Back to the Father. So when you pray your rounds, you are the voice. The only one who could do it perfectly is Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And this is what they gave to Louisa. So when you're praying your rounds, you really begin to be joy filled to overflowing. And this is what's happening. We're going to learn how to do the office of a star, the offices of a planet, the office of a tree, the office of the water, the office of the air. Everything is an I love you to God, from God to us. And what God is asking is that we can breathe this I love you back to God with the breath of Jesus. So this is why it's not a human response any longer. It's a share in divinity, which the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. She says very clearly, but I would disappear in the midst of the stars because I am neither beautiful nor shining like the stars. And so they would all put me out, hurling me down to the bottom of my long exile. See, what she's doing is she knows that we are the fallen ones. We have been redeemed. But we're not back to where we were before the fall. We are still wounded, if you want to say. We're still broken and bleeding. You get an idea of the word creatura, the creature. When Jesus says the creature, it's the baby that's fallen and bleeding and broken and hurt. Help the little creature. So Jesus wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall, before we were in this fallen state. Jesus has redeemed us, and now is the time for sanctification. That's bringing us back to where we were. So again, she says, in this fallen state, she says, I would disappear in the midst of the stars because I am neither as beautiful, perfect, nor shining like the stars that are not out of the will of God. We are out of the will of God. And this is what we're fighting. This battle that we're seeing around us is also within us. It's the battle to let go of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin in order to embrace this divine beauty of heaven, to participate in all of creation and redemption. So she says, the stars, they would put me out. They would hurl me down to the bottom of my long exile. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and told me, my daughter, now this is to Louisa, but also to us. My daughter, the one who lives in my divine will lives in the unity of her creator, who keeps within himself, in his divine unity, the whole of creation. So here, this is the crowning of his children. He says, this is what the divine will is. It's the crowning of his church. Just think of this, Louisa. If you're living in the divine will, if you're striving to live in the divine will, you live in the unity of God, who keeps with himself, in his unity, all that he has created. We go back to the prime act of God. We go back to the one act of God, the simple, beautiful act, that fiat of God. When when fiat lux, when let there be light, all of the universe was created. The fiat mihi of the Blessed Mother is the incarnation took place. God became man. And now the fiat voluntas tua, Jesus is saying, I want you to enter into this fiat, the one act, the eternal act of God, the prime act of God. This is why we fuse ourselves with the Holy Trinity. This is why we fuse ourselves with Jesus, Mary, Louisa. This is why we fuse ourselves with creation, redemption, and sanctification. It's to enter into this gift, this divine will, to participate in the prime act of God, the one single act of God. And this is what our God is showing us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, okay, the one who lives in my divine will lives in the unity of her creator, of her God, who keeps with himself in his divine unity all of creation, all of redemption in that one act of God. And just as he keeps the creation, so does he keep in his divine unity the soul who lives in the eternal fiat. So that's what we're striving for. We're striving to live fully into this fiat of God. And it's to get rid of everything in us that is opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus. Okay, so Jesus tells Louisa, if everything within you is been cast out of you that was opposed to the holy humanity of Jesus, that you're now living one in the holy humanity of Christ, he says, then you begin to share in divinity. So everything, you know, so God is testing us throughout the day. What about this situation? What about that? He says, I have to see what you want. I have to give you what you want. So the whole book of heaven is to teach us to want the things of heaven, no longer the things of earth, because we're freed of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. That day, when that day happens, the world is going to shake with joy. It's going to be this beautiful harmony of heaven and earth. Each person has their own song, if you want to say, or their own instrument. And this orchestra, this chorus, with everyone singing, this is heaven. It's going to be perfect, perfect. And everyone's going to be in tune. This is what we're doing. God is getting us ready for this glorious time that's coming to earth, where the earth, in a twinkling of an eye, as scripture says, all of a sudden the kingdom will be here. Jesus tells that to Louisa in volume 24. He says that, all of a sudden the kingdom will be here, and everyone will say, how did this happen? And Jesus said, it's happened because of you, Louisa, and the souls linked to you. That's our office, to bring about this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So what Jesus teaches is this isn't like promoting Louisa as a saint. We are to be, Jesus says, the yeast. He said, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees. It was death. What Jesus wants to give to us is this yeast, becoming yeast. Your family, who doesn't want the divine will, is the flour. Your neighbors who don't want the divine will is the flour. Your coworkers who don't want the divine will is the flour. And Jesus says, I want you to be the yeast in the midst of creatures. I want you to bring to them the divine will. How? By living a life of peace, joy, and happiness. By living a life that there's no worry, there's no fear, there's no anxiety, there's no complaints, there's no negativity, to the point one day will there be no sin. So Jesus is showing us how and why this is going to happen. So this is what he says to Louisa. He says, and just as God keeps the creation, so does he keep in his divine unity the soul who lives in the eternal fiat. And that's what we're striving for. So Jesus tests us every day. Are you going to be worried about this? Are you going to complain about that? Are you going to be negative about this? Are you going to be complaining about that? He's saying, what do you want? Do you want heaven? Or do you want to be always complaining, always negative, always in your misery, which that's the human will? Do you want to let go of the misery and embrace a share in divinity? That's what Jesus is offering us. So he says, and this unity brings to the soul all the reflections of her God, all the reflections of her creator, as well as his divine unity with all of creation. All of creation belongs to us. Begin to embrace the Son with thanksgiving. Thanking God, praising God, loving God, glorifying God for the Son. And Jesus, pray in my praying. Jesus, give to the Father. Let me be one with you to give to the Father this divine I love you, thanking him for the Son. Jesus says most people ignore this I love you in the sky. Most people ignore the air, the water, the trees. We're just ignorant and ignoring all of creation. And what happens? This unity, this divine unity, brings to the soul all the reflections of the I love yous of her God, as well as his divine unity with all creation, in such a way that the living image of God who created the soul can be seen in the soul. Okay, so you're the yeast in the midst of your family. You're the yeast in the midst of your parish. You're the yeast in the midst of your neighbors. He said, why? To give to them this I love you of God. How? By being peaceful, joyful, and happy. This, remember we talked about the light. This light, the saints had a nimbus of light around their head. Jesus says, in the divine will, it's a light that it's like, you know, if you're driving down the road and you see a car driving with blue lights coming at you, you know, those are blue lights. I mean, it's noticeable. You don't have to say anything or do anything. You have to live this. This is what Jesus is saying, to the point when everything is dark all around us, there's sunlight. But with the soul, this is what he says, this unity of God in God of all of creation brings the soul all the reflections of her God or of her creator, as well as God's divine unity with all of creation, in such a way that the living image of God who created her can be seen in the soul. So image and likeness. When we're baptized, we're in God's image. And now Jesus says, I want to give to humanity the likeness of God. Okay. It's not anything spectacular. Here's the one who lived in the image and likeness of God, our Blessed Mother. Jesus said, nobody noticed her. She didn't have anything extraordinary about her, but she was filled with a share in divinity. The true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary was given to Louisa. And God says, I want that alive today in souls. So he says this, and by maintaining his unity with all of creation, redemption, sanctification, God keeps the soul in the reflections of all the things created by him. All the I love yous of creation. When you're praying your rounds, creation is teaching you about all the I love yous. I mean, we've talked about this before, but when you're walking on the beach, you're like, oh, there's a little, so you look down, what is this? What is this? And you're looking at it. That is an I love you from God from the beginning of creation. He planned that for you from the beginning of time. He knew that this would attract you. And so what is happening is we have to begin to see the I love yous of all of creation. and be amazed of how glorious our God is, to praise him, to thank him, and to bless him, but not with a human, I love you, but with a divine, I love you. This is what Jesus is asking. So he says, by maintaining his unity with all, he keeps the soul in the reflections of all the things created by God. And these reflections form the sea, the sun, the heavens, the stars, and all the enchanting varieties of nature in the depth of the soul. It begins to be, the I love you begins to be reflected in us. It's, we begin to see it, appreciate it, love it, thanking God, praising God, glorifying God, the way Jesus and Mary did. This is how they prayed. And what happens is, it says, this reflections of the sea, the sun, the heaven, the stars, and all the enchanting varieties of nature in the depth of the soul. So what happens at this point is your whole prayer life changes. Your prayer life isn't repeating the prayers of a saint. It's repeating the prayers of Jesus and Mary. This is why Our Lady said to Louisa, I'm going to teach you new and powerful prayers. And these, they're so powerful that, Jesus taught Louisa the command prayer. The command prayer is what Peter did walking on the water. He's walking on, before he gets out of the boat, he says to Jesus when he sees him on the water, if you are the Messiah, command me to come to you. Jesus says, come, take my prayer and make it your command. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. When we surrender our prayer to Jesus, we know it's going to happen. It's not magic. Peter did a divine act. He walked on the water. Humans don't walk on the water. As we get into this prayer that Jesus and Mary have taught Louisa, your prayer life changes. Your prayer life changes. So listen to what he says. So the soul who lives in my divine will, places in the azure heavens, would be the most beautiful ornament for this azure, this color, the vault, such as to astonish both heaven and earth. The soul would have all within herself, her creator, a heaven, a sun, a sea, everything as her own. Ask, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. The miracles that Jesus says to Louisa that are going to come upon the earth, he says, are unheard of prodigies that are going to happen because of the time that we're living in. This is the time when great things are going to happen. Oh, the evil one's having his time, but it's short-lived. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus is asking us, are you willing to live in the kingdom, or are you going to be running around in terror like a chicken with his head cut off? He says, basically, I am in charge, the Lord says. I'm going to take care of my children, but I have to give you what you want. So what is he doing? He's giving us what we want without even knowing it. He's teaching us how to pray the way Jesus prayed, the way Mary prayed. We've been praying the prayers of the saints for 2,000 years. I wanted to know Jesus the way, you know, Saint Gertrude did. You know, I want to pray the way Saint Ignatius did. Jesus says, I want you to pray the way I prayed. I want you to pray the way my mother prayed. That's the rounds. So this, listen, the soul who lives in my divine will places the azure heavens. It would be the most beautiful ornament for this azure vault, such as to astonish both heaven and earth. The soul would have all within herself, her God, her creator, a heaven, a sun, a sea, everything as her own. Nor would she lack even the earth, all the flowery and the sweet singing of the birds, the bearer of the joy and of the harmonious music of their creator, because each created thing contains a divine note. That's what God is bringing to when you pray the rounds. The rounds are a divine note, a divine harmony with God. And it's a song you've never heard, but it's your song. It's a song that God has planned from the beginning of time to honor him the way he has planned it. See, our God deserves to be adored and loved and praised and thanked and glorified. That's why when you go into church, you don't bounce off your knee. You say, you're talking to Jesus. You're my Lord. You're my King. You're my master. And I adore you. It's to fall in love with God. This is what the divine will does. She says, so each created thing contains a divine note. So the music of all of creation, we're supposed to play these notes of the sun, of the moon, of the stars, of the trees, of the animals, of the vegetables, of the minerals. We are to have that life of Adam before the fall, which is now the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. To have this life of Jesus and Mary, to adore the Father, to praise and glorify our God, our triune God, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to really begin to live the life of heaven while on earth. So if we're trying to patch up the things on earth, it's going to be a lot of work, because the kingdom is coming. It's not to patch up things. It's not to go back to, you know, the 50s. It's not supposed, we're to live what God has given to us and begin to live that peace, that joy, that happiness of heaven on earth. So he says very clearly, therefore, instead of hurling you down, Jesus says, think about what Jesus is saying. She's saying, I'm not as beautiful as the stars in the universe. They would cast me down. Jesus says this. Now, this is for us. This is also for us. Therefore, instead of hurling you down, they will aspire to keep you in their midst. Why? Because among the many prodigies that my divine will contains, it has the power to portray all of our divine works in the soul, in humanity. Humanity was to be the reflection of all the I love yous of God, to give back to God the divine I love you that Adam was supposed to do. Adam did at first. But because he fell, we've been in darkness. We've been on the wrong path, if you want to say. The road to hell is very wide and many travel it. And now he's saying, I'm going to show you the narrow way, the straight way to God. And he says, it's for you if you want it. It's not difficult. It's not difficult. So he says they will aspire, the creation would aspire to keep you in their midst because among the many prodigies that my divine will contains, it has the power to portray all of God's works, all of our works, the triune God's works in the soul, to centralize all of God's works in its acts in the soul. So every heartbeat, every breath becomes a divine I love you. Why? Because it's Jesus breathing in our breathing. It's Mary beating in our heart beating. It's the new Adam and the new Eve, the life of the new Adam and the new Eve, giving to the Father that which Adam stopped. But with the new Adam, it's even more now. It's not only giving back to humanity what Adam lost, but what Jesus and Mary brought to the earth on Calvary. What they did is not only, this is why on Holy Saturday night we go, oh, happy fall of Adam. Why is this? Why are we happy that Adam fell? Because now we have the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. There's a double whammy that God gives to all of humanity. It's not just the return of the image and likeness that Adam had, but more than that, it's the image and likeness of the new Adam and the new Eve. All of creation is rejoicing in the fact of Louisa. She's the firstborn. She's the newborn. And Jesus is saying, Now I want this to be given to all the world, to anyone who wants it. And that's what he said. He said to Louisa, this is for all of humanity. Then he said, but in reality, it's for only those who want it. Most don't want this. Good, holy souls don't want this. And Jesus says, I have to honor them. I have to give them what they want. They have a free will. And he says to Louisa, he says, if you're the only one that does this, Louisa, I will be eternally happy for all of creation, because I have at least one soul who will do this with me and my mother. He says, but I want, and there will be an army of souls who will fight this final battle that we're in to conquer the human will, not with blood, not by blood, but with love. So he says this. He says, it has the power to portray all of its works in the soul who wants to live in the divine will, to centralize all of its acts in the soul who wants this. And it is not content if it does not see its own beauty in the soul. When you look at the six steps that Our Lady teaches Louisa of how to give up your human will, the final step is to receive all the divine qualities of God as much as a human could possibly contain. The reflection of the divine qualities of God. This is what he says. It's not content if it does not see God's own beauty in the soul, and if it doesn't find God's own echo, God's own joys in all of itself in the soul. This is the reason when you pray your rounds, you are so happy. You're getting a glimpse. It's not a fullness yet. You're getting a glimpse of the joy of heaven, the happiness of heaven, the pleasure of heaven, the singing of heaven, the harmony of the music of heaven. You're getting a glimpse of it. And our Lord is asking us. He's saying, I want you to have this, but I can't force you to. So as we read this, as we study this book, what happens, this book of heaven, as we enter into this glory that God has given to humanity at this time, because as you can see all around us, everything seems to be falling apart, but it's not. God's getting everything in order. Everything is falling into place. Those that want God, or want God even more. Those that don't want God, don't want God even more. God has to give to everybody what the soul wants. And that's why he's given us the book of heaven. As we begin to read this and study this, you can't put it down. As you go through it once, you go through it again, and then you go through it again, it becomes more and more and more beautiful. Why? The Lord says, I will expand your capacity to embrace this gift, to live this gift. So we'll end here with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray for the healing of all the little children, the holy divine will, the divine healing. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you.